Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top, the second wide line of Daf Yud Gimel. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei. Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written Kvuras Yankiv. The Gemara will discuss the burial of Yankiv Avinu, Umaisa de Esav, and the incident involving Esav meeting up with the burial party, Bema'oras HaMachpelah, at the entrance to the Machpelah cave where Yankiv eventually would be buried. The story will be described in detail in the Gemara. The Gemara itself now, second wide line, Yosef Zocha, the Mishnah told us that Yosef had the privilege of overseeing, of being responsible for the burial of Yankiv Avinu. My Shno Meikora, here the Gemara wants to know about the order found within two psukim, where there seems to be a change in order of what is stated. So Meikora, in the early pasuk, Dichtiv, it says, Vayal Yosef Likbor es Aviv, Vayalu Ito Kol Avde Paro. And then it goes on to say, afterwards, it mentions Beis Yosef, that's v'hodar. V'hodar means, and then afterwards it says v'chol beis Yosef v'echov u'beis aviv. So in the order presented in this pasuk, you see Yosef, the Egyptian officialdom, and then the rest of Yosef's family. We'll say the members of who were the of that which was the Jewish people at the time, Joseph's family. So that's the order. And then, Umay Shno LeBesof, but you see on their return from burying Yankiv Avinu in Eretz Canaan, it says, Tichtiv, Vayoshov Yosef Mitzrayimo, Yosef returned to Mitzrayim, who, V'echov, V'hodar V'chol Ha'olim Ito Likbor Esaviv. Notice, the order here is of Yosef is in the first position, and then in this situation where they're returning, the brothers of Yosef are mentioned, the Jewish people, the family of Yosef, and then at the end, all those that went with him initially to bury Yankiv. Why the order change? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, B'tchila, initially, Ad Shelo Ro'u B'chvoidon Shel Yisrael, when the Egyptians didn't see the international honor accorded to the people of Israel, lo noagu bohen kovod, true respect wasn't shown to them, so they were relegated to the last place position. Ulubasof, but afterwards, in other words, as you'll see, after they finished the burial, because of events that took place en route, Shero Bechvodan, where the Egyptians saw the honor accorded to the Jewish people, Noagu Bohen Kovod, they bestowed upon the Jewish people, the family of Yosef, their due respect. And here the Gemara elaborates regarding the matter of the respect. Dichtiv, Vayavo Ad Gurin Ha'otod. In the story of the burial, it says, and they arrived at Goren Ha'otod. V'chi Goren Yesh Lo La'otod. Now the word Goren is a granary, and Otod are thorns and thistles. So do thorns and thistles have a granary? What does this mean? Ad goren ha'otod. Amar Rabbi Avo, melamed, what this pasuk teaches us is she kifuhu ksorim la'aroinu sheyankiv, the nations of the world of that time had surrounded the coffin containing Yankiv kegoyren ze shemakifan lo'otod, just like a granary is surrounded by a fence, and fence in the time of the Gemara was a thorn fence. So the idea of Goren Hotad is you have a central entity being surrounded by something else. Similarly, the coffin of Yankiv was surrounded by Ksorim, the crowns of the leaders of the peoples of the world of that area. As far as numbers are concerned, we'll go on in the Gemara and we'll see. Shebo Sham b'nei Esav uvnei Yishmael uvnei Keturah, the descendants of Esav and of Yishmael and of Keturah. Keturah was one of Avram Avinu's wives. They formed nation states. So they all came. Tana kulam lemilchama bo. The Tanaic source reveals that when they saw the burial party, probably from the distance, Egyptian officials, very likely in military uniform, all traversing that area, these other nation states, the B'nai Esau, B'nai Shmuel, they thought that they were being challenged in war. So, Kevon Shiro, Kisro Sheyosef, Tole Baronish Yankiv, when they saw the crown of Joseph suspended over the coffin containing Yankiv, Notlu Kulon Kisrehem, they all took their crowns, Vitolum Barono Shel Yankiv, and they joined in out of honor, and they suspended their crowns around Yankiv's coffin as well. Tana Shloshim Vishishuk Sorum Nitlu Barono Shel Yankiv, and were taught there were 36 crowns representing 36 nation states that were suspended, surrounding the coffin of Yankiv. So you can see that that made a very great impression on the Egyptian officials that had been part of that funeral cortege or that burial party. And hence, as we said earlier, the change in how to accord respect to Yankiv Avinu and his family. The Gemara continues, Vayispadu Sham Mispeid Godoil V'Koveid Ma'od. Pasuk reveals that there was a very large and heavy eulogy. Tono, Afilu Susim V'Afilu Chamorim. Now this is a Tanaic source that to me is a bit obscure, certainly on a translation level. It says even the horses and the donkeys were participatory in the eulogy. For our purposes, we're going to leave that to you, the listening public, to research what the significance of that is. The idea of even animals being participatory in the eulogy, I'm sure you can find something that's of a rather deep nature to appreciate that. Kevon Shegiu Lemaras Machpela, once they arrived at the Machpela cave, and that's where, as the Gemara will tell us, four couples were buried: Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka. And now we're coming to the fourth couple. That would be Leah was already buried there, and now there is the interest in burying Yankiv. Also Esav Komakiv. Esav, of course, the twin brother of Yankiv, who you can see outlived him, he came. He arrived there, and he started he delayed the funeral procedure. Omar Lohen, Esav claimed, Mamre Kiryas Ha'arba, he Chevron. The pasuk refers to this location as Kiryas Ha'arba, a Kiryas, a city of the four. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchok, Kiryas Arba, the name Arba is associated with Arba Zugos Hoyo. There were four couples. Adam v'Chava, Avram v'Sara, Yitzchok v'Rivka, and then, this is a post facto, Yankov v'Leah. The Rashi says something interesting regarding that cave, that burial site. We're looking at Rashi on the narrow lines, approximately the fifth narrow line. Rashi says, Omar Esav said, Kiryas Arba Shmo, She'eno Machzekes Elo Dalet Zugos. It holds only four couples. So, the description of the Morsach Peor as being a place that is rather limited in how many corpses, how many deceased it can contain. So Esav is here holding up the funeral procedure, and he says, "Ihu kovro lelea." My brother, that's Yankov, he buried his wife in this cave. That bididei, meaning in his portion. Yankov and Esav, as we mentioned before, were brothers. They, as brothers, they inherited that which was the property of their father Yitzchak. So Yankov, my deceased brother, and myself have a joint holding in this cave, and there are only two spots that were there upon Yitzchok's death. Yankov took advantage of his holding in the cave to bury his wife Leah there. So there's only one more spot, but that's as the Gemara said, "Ihu kovra lelea bedidei." Yankov already buried Leah in his portion. V'hai de payish, the one spot that remains. Payish means is left over. Remains. D.D. Who? It's mine, says Esav. Omru le, so the funeral party told Esav, Zavinta, you sold your holding. Omar lehu, Esav responds, Nehi desvini bechiwusa. It's true, I sold my firstborn portion. A firstborn, when you have heirs, the firstborn is entitled to twice as much as any one other brother. So what Esav did is he sold away his rights as a firstborn. However, pshitusa mizavini, did he sell off all of his own? Pshito means his common status, an equal status. Did I sell that off? In other words, I didn't sell off everything. I sold off whatever extra that would have been coming to me as a b'chor, as a firstborn. But after selling off that extra, I and he then are equals. And that which remains is my portion. You can't bury him there. Amru le, so the family said, in, you did sell off everything. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, Bekivri asher korisi li. That's a pasuk, and for our purposes, so this pasuk is Yankov saying, I want to be buried in the grave Asher Korisili. What does Asher Korisili mean? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yotzonok and Kira Eloloshen Mechira. The word Korisi means purchased. Shekein Bekroche Hayom, outside of Israel, amongst the places overseas, Kurin LeMechira Kira. The word, the original Hebrew word Korisi or Kira was preserved in its original meaning as a sale, as a purchase. So when Yankov Avinu said, I want to be buried in the grave that I bought, meaning I bought everything from Esav. Esav has no more rights to this location. Omar Lahu, so Esav says to them, oh yeah, you're saying that I sold off everything, then Havu Li Igrusa, bring to me the contract, the bill of sale that indicates thusly. Omru le, they told Esav, Igrusa bara de Mitzrayim hi. The contract The bill of sale is in Egypt. We're here now in Eretz Yisrael, in Hebron, and we didn't expect to meet up with you and need to prove that Yankov bought everything from you. The contract is still in Mitzrayim. Uma Nesel, who's going to go there? So they decided, okay, if you're insisting on seeing the contract, Nesel Naftoli de Kolil Kiayalta. Naftoli, one of the sons of Yankov, one of the tribes as we refer to them, he was there. Let him go. He's Kolil, swift-footed. Kiayalta, like an Ayola. An Ayola is a type of an animal, we'll say, in the deer family, very swift type creature. Dichtiv, Naftoli, Ayola, Shlucha, Anoisin, Imre, Shefer. That's the pasuk. Now we're going to darshan this pasuk. Omrev Yavo, Al Tikri, Imre, Shefer, Elo, Imre, Sefer. Instead of reading the pasuk describing Naftoli as who gives forth Imre, Shefer, fine speech, rather, he is associated with the Sefer, with the scroll, with the contract in our instance. So, as this, just to repeat what the scene is right now, you have a funeral procession being upheld at the entrance of the Moras HaMachpelah, Esav contesting their right to bury his brother Yankov in the remaining spot, with the claim that he is the owner of the remaining burial crypt. They, the family of Yankov, in effect, the nephews of Esav, are challenging, claiming, what are you holding us up for? You sold off all of your holding. And as far as the contract is concerned, okay, we're going to get the contract. And they sent the swift-footed Naftoli on that mission to retrieve the contract. The Gemara goes on. Hushim Brei Dedon Tamon Havi. Hushim is a name. It's a name of the son of Don, one of the other brothers. Tamon Havi. Tamon means Shoma. He was over there. Vikiran Leudne. He was hard of hearing. Omar Luhu Mai Hai. He didn't hear the whole conversation. He's asking, what's going on? The Omrule, they communicated to him. Koma Akev, hi, this one, referring to Esav, he's holding things up. Ad Osi Naftoli, Me'ar de Mitzrayim. Until Naftoli makes the round trip and comes back from Mitzrayim with the shtar, with the document. Omar Lahu, and so Hushim, who is a grandson of the deceased of Yankov, he says, V'ad Osi Naftoli, Me'ar de Mitzrayim. And until he comes back, Yehei Avi Abba Mutal B'Bizayon, is my father's father's grandfather supposed to be lying here in indignation, in disparagement? I am not going to tolerate it for even a moment. So what did he do? Shokal Kufa, he picked up a Kufa's a club, a stick, a club, Machia Areshe, and he smashed Esav over the head. Machi is to hit him. Areshi on his head, on Esav's head. Well, with the power of that blow, Nasron Enei Venofla Karad Yankov. Esav's eyes popped out and fell to the ground near Yankov's feet. Paschinu Yankov Li Enei. And here we're just going to translate as far as what actually happened. To accept this at face value or not is not something we're going to delve into, but on the translation level it says, and Yankov, who was there lying in as a person needing to be buried, he opens his eyes, v'ochich, and he laughed, seeing now the death of Esav, v'hainu dichtiv, and it's with this in mind that we see the eyeballs of Esav falling to the ground and falling to Yankov's feet, and we emphasize that word here right now for feet, and Yankov opening his eyes and laughing. What does the pasuk say? V'hainu d'chtiv, and it's that which the pasuk says in Tehillim, Yismach tzadik ki choza nokom pa'omov yirchatz bedam horosha. The tzadik is yismach, is joyful, when he sees the vengeance, when he sees divine justice carried out. Palmov means his legs, his feet, he will wash in the blood of the wicked. Esav was a non-righteous individual, to put it mildly. And seeing divine retribution, after all, Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, and for many years that was the only thing that was on his mind. And here we see Esav getting his due punishment, and Yaakov responding in kind. At that moment, there was a fulfillment of their mother's prophecy. Rivka was their mother. Vichtiv, she said, "Lomo eshkal gam shnechem yoim echad." She was very worried at the time that Esav threatened to murder Yaakov. She reacted by saying, "Why should I have to lose both of you?" Eshkal is a parent losing a child. The term shchul is used. Eshkal, why should I end up having both of you die on the same day? Well, in this case, it wasn't exactly that. Yafagav de misoson lo biom echod havoi. Even though their death wasn't on the same day, Yaakov died many days before. However, kurosin mio biyoim echod havoi. They were both buried on the same day. So at that point, that's the conclusion of that particular story. And the Gemara goes on, referring back to Yosef being the one who was in charge, who oversaw the burial of Yaakov. The Gemara asks, "Vilo yasik be Yosef," and if Yosef had not tended to it, cared for it, "Echov lohavu me'aski be," what, his brothers wouldn't have been involved, wouldn't have overseen, taken care of their father's burial. Valksiv, and we're going to have to come back to explain what the Gemara is really asking about, but in the meantime, to suggest that only Yosef was involved and not his brothers, that would be inaccurate. Valksiv, Ayisu also bonov Arza Kanan. And it says that Yaakov was carried off from Mitzrayim to Canaan by his sons. So everyone was involved. Let's take a look at the Rashi. A few lines up from here, in the middle of the narrow lines of Rashi. V'i lo yasik be Yosef echov mi lo havim asik be klomar. When you see the word klomar in Rashi, you realize that we're not merely translating. The Gemara has words, but you have to add a level of understanding to those words. So what's bothering the Gemara is, "Heichinichu echov li Yosef lito loi es Hashem levado shekvuras avihem." How could the brothers allow, let's say, Yosef to get all the credit for their father's burial? V'chipokumeim ha'oil v'lo choshu lo. Did they cast off their obligation and not care about him? V'im lo nisaseg bo hu heim lo hoyu asukim bo. And if Yosef didn't take charge, what, they wouldn't have overseen his burial? V'oksiv ayisu also bonav almav heim hoyu asukim b'maso. And so you see that they were involved in his transportation. Ubikvuroso ksiv achrei kavru es aviv tola kosuv bo shehu hoya ikur hadavar. The pasuk says achrei kavru es aviv, after he buried the father. So the pasuk seems to give credit to Yosef. And hence the question is, why is it that they allowed him, or maybe bestowed upon him, all of the credit? So the Gemara answers, Amru, Hanichulo, let it be Yosef's credit. Let him be the one who's acknowledged as the one burying Yaakov. Kvodo, the honor of our father is actually through kings. Yosef had the status of a king. He was a viceroy. And for our father to have been buried by the viceroy of Egypt is a greater honor to our father more than his having been buried by commoners, us. So, in actuality, the whole family was involved with Yaakov's burial. But in terms of who was given the credit for it, who was associated with it, in terms of who was, as we said, given credit for it, whose name is attached to it, that's Yosef. And that was their common consent, because that, in fact, gave more glory, greater honor to their father. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the side for a new topic heading, the Nosei, Kvuras Yosef. Here the Gemara is going to focus on the burial of Yosef. The Mishnah made reference to the burial of Yosef being taken care of by Moshe Rabbeinu. Mi lanu gadol mi Yosef v'chulei tonu rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source. Notice it's quite long. It takes you to the top of Omid Beis. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. As you scan ahead in this Tanaic source, you'll notice diamonds that appear on the side under the Mivneh, the structural note. This represents Shnei Deos al Mokim Kvurasoi Shel Yosef in Mitzrayim. Two opinions as to where Yosef's body had been buried in Mitzrayim. Bear in mind that Yosef arrived in Mitzrayim when he did, obviously at the beginning of the sojourn of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and that entire time period was 210 years. So from the time of Yosef's death till the eventual exodus of Mitzrayim, many years had gone by. And upon the exodus from Mitzrayim, being that Yosef had requested as part of his, we'll say, last will to be taken from Mitzrayim and buried in Eretz Canaan. He didn't want to have his remains stay there in Mitzrayim. At the point of Exodus, though, it became urgent for them to find where was he in fact buried. So now we continue with the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. Bo ure'e, come and see. Kama chavivus mitzvois al Moshe Rabbeinu. How much affinity Moshe Rabbeinu, chavivus means beloved, endearment, affinity, love Moshe Rabbeinu had for mitzvahs. Shekol Yisrael kulon is asku b'biza. At the time of time of their exodus, their imminent departure from Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were preoccupied with the spoils that they were going to take from Mitzrayim. V'hu nisaseik b'mitzvahs. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he was preoccupied with the fulfillment of a mitzvah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei Chacham Lev Ikach Mitzvahs, a man who's wise will try to acquire mitzvahs as opposed to pursuing wealth. Uminayin hoyo yodea Moshe Rabbeinu hechon Yosef kovur. And for how did Moshe Rabbeinu find where Yosef was buried? As we indicated, there was a significant gap in time between the death of Yosef and their exodus. Omru, so they said, Serach bas Osher nishtairo le'oisoi hador. The daughter of Osher, she was the link. This is a concept that is worth spending a lot of time pondering on, the concept of the generational link. And there was here Sarah bas Asher, the daughter of Asher, she remained. She was literally left over. She remained from that generation. She was alive at the time of Yosef's death. She would know. And as we said, there's a great deal of depth to this idea of someone from the old generation and his or her significant role in serving as the transmission, as their role in the Mesorah, the transmission of our faith, our religion, our Torah knowledge to the new generation. The Gemara continues and says, "Holach Moshe etzlo." Moshe went to her. Amar lo, klum at yodas hechon Yosef kover? Do you know where Yosef is buried? Amra lo, she said, "Oron shel mateches osu lo Mitzrayim v'kov uhu benilus anor." They made an iron coffin and placed him, Yosef, in the iron coffin, and set it in the, we'll say, the Nile River. Nilus is the name of the great river of Mitzrayim, which we can associate with the Nile River. And why did they put him in the water? Kadesh is Baruch Humeimov, through the great viceroy of Egypt that everyone recognized as a great man. We certainly recognize Yosef as a great, pious individual. He would be the source of blessing. The Nile River would seasonally overflow its banks, thereby being the source of water for all kinds of irrigation canals, serving as the source of irrigation for all of their produce. It was a nation where a land region where rain was uncommon, and their source of water was the river. And having Yosef's body buried in the river was, in their eyes, a source of blessing. Holach Moshe v'Omar al Sfas Nilus. Moshe went and stood by the banks of the river. Omar lo, and Moshe proclaimed, "Yosef, Yosef, higia ho'eis shenishba kodesh baruch hu shani goyel eschem." Calling out to Yosef, he says, "The time has come that the Almighty swore that he would redeem the people." V'higia ha'shvua shishbato es Yisrael. And now is the time for the Jewish people to fulfill the vow that you imposed upon them, to see to it that you would be carried from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan for burial. If you reveal yourself, if you show yourself now, then good, we'll be able to carry out our end of the bargain. Im lav, and if you don't, hareyonu menukim mishvoscha, if you remain there in the river's bed, then we are menukin, we're cleansed, we're free of the vow, of the oath that you imposed upon the Jewish people. Miad tzof arona shel Yosef. Immediately, this metal coffin floated surface word. V'alta tamah hech ba'azot tzof, and don't be amazed. Tam is to be amazed. Don't be amazed. How can iron float? Well, there's scriptural precedent for that. I don't want to say it's chronological precedent, but from our vantage point, namely as we're when the Gemara was written, so this was after the time of the story featured here involving the prophet Elisha, found in the book of Kings, Melachim Beis, Perek Vav, Psukim Hey and Vav. It says Sharei Ksiv. There was a story involving the prophet Elisha, in which you see iron floating. And here the Gemara shares the Psukim, as we mentioned, Psukim Hey and Vav, there in Perek Vav of Melachim Beis. Vayechod ho'echod mapil ha'kurav sabarzel nofel l'mayim. There was an individual who was involved with a beam. He was cutting a beam, apparently with an axe, and the barzel, the barzel is the axe head, nofal l'mayim, fell into the water. And the fellow who just lost his axe head, aho adoni v'hu sholi, he exclaims, I'm in trouble now. Hushal means it's borrowed. What am I going to do? There's the axe head flew off into the water. What am I going to do? Vayomer Ishalakim, the man of God, meaning Elisha the prophet. Ona nofal, where did it fall? Vayar ehu esamokom, and the man showed the prophet where it had fallen into the water. Vayiktsov eitz, and he he cut a piece of wood in a particular, we'll say, form. Vayashlech shama, and he threw the wood into the water. Vayotzef abarzel, and it caused the axe head to float up. It could very well be that then the wood that he threw into the water would serve as the new axe handle, inserting itself miraculously into this axe head, and it floated toward the surface. And this is a miracle that was performed through the prophet Elisha. The prophet Elisha happened to have been a student of another well-known prophet, Elijah the prophet. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. And from this story, you can derive, through kal v'chomer logic, an explanation for what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef's iron coffin. Uma Elisha talmido shel Eliyahu. Mind you, Elisha, who was a student of Eliyahu, Eliyahu talmido shel Moshe, and Eliyahu was in turn a student type descendant from Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leading prophet of all time, and he had taught other prophets, and eventually Eliyahu learned from them, and Eliyahu had a student, Elisha, and Eliyahu, as we say, is like a descendant of students from Moshe. Sof barzel miponov, the iron floated for the sake of Elisha. May Moshe Rabbeinu alachas kama v'kama, for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, all the more so iron would float. Up till now, we had approach number one, and that was what we highlighted with our diamond as to where Yosef was buried. Now, approach number two. Reb Noson Omer be'kavarnit shel melachim hoya kavur. It's a note on the side. Pirush beveis hakvoros shel melachim. Yosef was buried in an Egyptian royal cemetery. V'hoyu shom aronos. We're reading the note on the side. V'hoyu shom aronos harbe. There were many coffins in this, let's say, royal crypt. V'lo hoya Moshe yodea ezu. Moshe Rabbeinu, by looking at them, couldn't identify which one was Yosef's coffin. So Reb Noson tells us that was the burial site in Egypt. We continue in the Gemara at the beginning of the next line. Holach Moshe v'omad al kabarnit shel melachim. So Moshe went and stood by this royal burial site. Omar, and he said, Yosef, igia es. And here you see the same text as we saw before. No need to translate it again. Yosef higia es shenishba kodesh baruch hu shani goyel eschem v'higia shvua shishbata es Yisrael. At that time, Nizdazea Aroino Shel Yosef, the coffin in which Yosef was, his remains were located, shook. Nizdazea, it shook. Not loy Moshe veviu etzlo. Moshe understood that was quite miraculous, and hence that was an answer to his request, and he took that coffin. And all the years that the Jewish people were traveling in the desert, there were these two boxes, echad shel meis ve'echad shel shechina, mehalchin ze im ze. There was the oron, the coffin containing the remains of Yosef, and there was the oron containing the Ten Commandments, the tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu received, we refer to as the Ten Commandments. And they were also in an oron, and they were traveling side by side in the desert. And passersby would say, what's the nature of these two boxes? Amru, they said, Echot Shomeis ve'echot Shoshchina. One is that of a deceased individual, Yosef, and the other is a box that is of a divine nature. What's is this the way? Is this the normal way that a coffin containing a deceased individual is being transported side by side with with the divinity, the Luchos Habris, Amru, well, they said, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Kiem Ze Kol Mashe Kosov Bazeh, the he that's in this box, Yosef, fulfilled everything that is contained, that's written in the other box. In other words, we have the example of a tzaddik hador, Yosef HaTzaddik, being the example par excellence of one who fulfilled the teachings of the Torah. So it's quite fitting that they should be transported one next to the other. This idea of kiyem ze kol mashikos bazeh is an expression you find elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken, just saying off the top of my head. If you look in the end of the first parak of Bava Kama, you see a similar discussion or description involving Chizkiyo HaMelech and the question of a Sefer Torah being brought to his coffin. The Gemara continues with a very similar sounding question as we saw earlier. And if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take charge of Yosef's burial, the rest of the Jewish people wouldn't have done so. The pasuk indicates that they would have, that they were involved. It says, "V'asatzmos Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim kavru b'shchem," and the remains of Yosef that the Jewish people brought up from Egypt were buried in Shechem. The Rashi here presents this question in a very similar fashion as we saw earlier. If you look at Rashi, three lines from the top, at the end of the line, "V'lo asik bei Moshe klomar." Again, the klomar, the key word indicating that added explanation is needed. "Hei chinichu Yisrael Moshe asik bo levado." How could it be that the Jewish people would seemingly let Moshe Rabbeinu have exclusive control and care over Yosef's remains? Were they not concerned with the oath that had been imposed upon the entirety of the Jewish people? And had Moshe Rabbeinu not taken charge, they wouldn't have been involved. And let's continue with the Rashi, Hoksiv. We see the pasuk that we read already, Alma, Li'achar Shiniftar Moshe Barvus Moav. After Moshe died in Arvus Moav, Arvus Moav is on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. It's before they crossed into the land of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu already, at that point, he died. Yosef's remains were brought further into the land of Israel. So we see that after Moshe died, Israel, the rest of the Jewish people, did involve themselves with Yosef's burial and brought him over the Jordan, over the Jordan River. So now we turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks another question. We have, having asked already one question, meaning if Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't involved, the rest of the Jewish people wouldn't have been involved. Of course they would have been, and we see that they were. Vesu, and furthermore, the Gemara continues, Elo, Iasku, Bei Yisrael, if the entirety of the Jews weren't involved, Bonov, Lo Havu, Maski, Bei, his own sons, the direct descendants of Yosef, wouldn't have been involved. Oksiv, Vayu, Livnei, Yosef, Lenachlo. Let's take a look at Rashi. Vesu, Elo, Havu, Misaski, Bei, Yisrael, La'achar, Shinifta, Moshe. How can it be that Yosef's direct descendants let the others take care of their predecessor? It says regarding Shechem, Shechem was a city that was part of the section of Israel given to Ephraim, the son of Yosef. Alma benachlosam kovruhu dechoviv hoyo alehen. We see from here that burial of Yosef took place in their area. In other words, Bnei Yosef and the descendants of Yosef, they themselves were involved with his burial. So what we're left with at this point is a question: why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is given credit, and why is it that the Jewish people are given credit when, in the final analysis, the direct descendants of Yosef would have taken care of their grandfather? The Gemara answers, Omru. They reasoned as follows: Hanichu lo kavoda b'mrubim Yoser mi'be'umutin. Yosef's great honor is through the entirety of the Pimrubim, literally means the many being involved, more so than just the few. Vesu Amru, and furthermore they said, Hanichulo, Kvodim Begedoilim, Yosef Miktanim, and this goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that his honor is enhanced by being taken care of by the great, by Moshe Rabbeinu, more so than the lesser, the Ktanim. In the pasuk that we saw cited on the last of the narrow lines, fourth line from the top of the Gemara, it mentions that the remains of Yosef were taken by the Jewish people and buried in Shechem. Kavru b'Shechem. Mai shna b'Shechem. What's unique or significant about that location? Omer Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Mishchem Gonvu l'Shechem Nachsir Avedoso. Yosef was originally stolen, meaning his brothers had taken him and sold him off. Say it's a form of kidnapping. That's gonvu. They kidnapped him and sold him. And where did that take place? In Shechem. It's only fitting that he should be returned to Shechem. Nachzer avedos means the lost one. Aveda is that which is lost. Shechem's lost item, lost individual, namely Yosef. It's only fitting that he should be returned there. Koshu kroy adodi. Mora finds that there's an inconsistency, a seeming contradiction in psukim. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe took Yosef's remains with him. Uksiv, es atzmos Yosef asher helu bnei Yisrael. The remains of Yosef that were conveyed by the Jewish people. So who took Yosef's remains? Was it Moshe or Bnei Israel? As we go on in the Gemara, you see triangles that appear on the side under the Nosei Mivneh Hityachasut. There is several approaches to Hityachasut Lemi Sheoise Dover Velo Gomroi Ubo Achir VeGomro. The Gemara's approach, three different approaches. To one who starts a mitzvah, starts something but doesn't finish it, and someone else comes and finishes it. So in while bearing in mind the two psukim that we had, Moshe taking Yosef's remains and then reference made to Bnei Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Chama Baruchin, Kol Ha'isa Dover V'lo Gomroi. Anyone who starts something, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who started the burial process for Yosef, but he didn't finish it. We mentioned earlier that Moshe died and buried before entering the land of Israel proper. So he started the care of Yosef's burial, but he didn't finish it. Ubo achir v'gomro, and someone else comes and finishes it off. Ma'ale olavakosuv al shegomro kiloso. Credit is given to the one that finished it as if he did the whole thing. And that's the message, that's what these two psukim come to tell us. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu started it, but Bnei Yisrael, they finished the job, so it is they that get the credit. That's what the pasuk says. Asher he'elu Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Israel brought him out of Mitzrayim. When in fact Moshe Rabbeinu was one that brought him out of Mitzrayim. But they finished the job, so they're given credit. Rabbi Lozer Omer Af Morida Noisoi Migduloso. Rabbi Lozer builds on what we just said. It says that someone who starts something and doesn't finish it is lowered from his original position. Dichtiv. And here, this is a pasuk that is related to Yosef, but at a much earlier point in time, when the brothers were scheming what to do with Yosef, they were irate, they were jealous, they were enraged, or whatever other adverb you want to ascribe to their attitude toward Yosef at the time. They wanted basically to kill him. Yehuda intervened and he said, "Of what gain will we have through his death?" So Yehuda started, made an effort to save him, but he didn't finish the job. And it says regarding Yehuda, it says, "Vayhi bo'esahi," at that time, and this was where Yehuda tried, Yehuda intervened, stopping the murder of Yosef, but he saw to it that he was sold to Mitzrayim. So he, as we said, he started the salvation of Yosef, but he didn't finish it. And it says, right after that incident, Vayered Yehuda. And we've dashed underlined the word Vayered, means he descended. For our purposes, means he experienced a descent. He was recognized as a leadership figure, and then he experienced a descent, a downfall, if you will. All, of course, in context. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, Av Kiver Ishto Uvonov. Someone who starts something and doesn't finish it off is actually quite dangerous. He might end up burying his wife and children, Dichtiv. And continuing with the story involving Yehuda, it says, Vatomos Bashua Eshes Yehuda, Uksiv Vayomos Er Va'onan. The Bashua, the wife of Yehuda, died, and Er Va'onan, the sons of Yehuda, died. And all this was after that incident where Yehuda tried, or he made the first step in saving Yosef, but didn't finish the job. And this is what followed: the death of his wife and the death of his children, Yehuda's wife and Yehuda's children. As we go on in the Gemara, a double underline marking appears. These are Meimros Shel Rav Yehuda Omar Rav B'inyan Yosef U'Nisoso, comments made by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav concerning Yosef and his death. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Ma Nikro Yosef Atzomos B'Chayov. Why, while Yosef was still alive, do we find the term atzomos, atzomos literally bones or remains, being used? Yosef himself said, "Valisem es atzmoisai mizen." You will bring my bones. Could have conceivably said, "Bring me." Why this use the word bones while he's still alive? Answer. So the. Mipnei Shalomicha b'chvoid aviv. He, Yosef, was a truly righteous individual, and as we've said in previous shiurim, when it comes to the scriptures and the way they deal with the righteous, the way our divine Tanakh deals with the righteous is puts them under a magnifying glass and will highlight the smallest shortcoming that they may have had, and let's say enlarge it so that we can study and learn from it. So Yosef is charged with not showing maximum respect to his father, and that's, he didn't protest mitnei shelo micha, he didn't express any words of protest when it came to guarding the honor of his father. Well, what does that refer to? The Ko'amri Lay, when the brothers of Yosef were making their case to Yosef, and they didn't know who, they had not as yet revealed Yosef's identity, they said, Avdecha Avinu. They referred to their father, who was also Yosef's father, as Yosef's servant. It's not, of course, not a respectful way to refer to one's father or have one's father referred to thusly. V'lo omar luhu v'lo midi. And he didn't react at all. He remained silent. And we can assume that from the Gemara's objection, there was something that he could have said, which would have somehow preserved the dignity of Yankiv after hearing him referred to as, after hearing Yankiv referred to as his Yosef's servant, but he remained silent, and because of that, he is called Atzamos Yosef. That is called Atzamos. Even while he was still alive, the Yomer Yirama Rav Vitema. Another version of this is Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanino, Mibnei Ma, Meis Yosef Kodim Li Echov. Yosef, who was besides Binyamin, he was the youngest of all his brothers. Why is it that he was the first of the brothers to die? Mibnei Shehinig Atzmo Berabonus. It's because he ruled over them. There's much more to say on this on this point. If I recall correctly, the Marsha elaborates a bit on this. We're translating the Gemara, and the issue that's dealt with by the commentaries is: does this statement apply directly to Yosef in the simplest sense of the word, or possibly not? But for our purposes, the fact that he was the king, was the viceroy, and his brothers fell under his rule, that's the reason that he died before all the rest of them. In other contexts, the concept of Hinig Atzmo Ribonus is presented as someone who rules in a heavy-handed fashion over his subjects, and it's on that point that I am hesitating insofar as Yosef himself didn't rule in a heavy-handed, overbearing fashion over his brothers, but nevertheless he imposed his rulership over them. Of course, it was benevolent in his case, but even so, it's not looked on kindly through the eyes of Chazal, and hence he died before the rest at age 110. V'yosef hurad mitzrayma, amar Rabbi Elazar al tikri hurad elo horid. The pasuk itself translates as Yosef was brought down, more of in a passive sense, and since the Torah doesn't have vowels in the Torah text, you have license to read it not as hurad, rather horid, and how what would that mean? The pasuk would then be Yosef horid mitzrayim, which would mean that the word horid being an active verb form, he brought them down. Shehorid itstagnine paro migedulason. Yosef, with his powers, his powers of dream interpretation, other powers superseded those of the itstagnine paro, literally the stargazers, the royal counselors that Paro had. So you see that what the itstagnine paro tried to communicate to Paro, Paro did not accept, and that which Yosef did say was accepted. So you see that he brought them down, and Rashi says, when he, Yosef, interpreted the dreams of Paro accurately, and they didn't know how to explain it. We continue with the psukim dealing with Yosef. Vayiknehu Potifar Suris Paro. When Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim after being sold by initially by the brothers, Yosef ended up in Mitzrayim. It says in this pasuk he was purchased by Vayikneu Potifar, who was a minister serving Paro. Omar Rav, and Rav explains that you see in this pasuk Shekonoi Liatzmo. Potifar bought Yosef. Yosef, by the way, was an extraordinarily good-looking at that point in time young man. And Potiphar bought him for himself. we call Mishkav Zohar, homosexual relations. And at that point, there was a, we'll call it, heavenly intervention to protect Yosef from being defiled by this individual. Bo Gavriel Upiru. Gavriel, the angel, this the well-known archangel, came and sterilized, castrated Potiphar. That's Upiru. It's an expression. Piro is Sirus. Meikoraksiv, originally you see him, Potiphar, referred to as Potiphar. Ulbasov, later you see him referred to as Potiphera. The word para, as we just saw earlier on this line, the word piro, as we, means being castrated. Mi lanu godol mi Moshe v'chulei. The Gemara moves on now to the next section of the Mishnah that had featured Moshe Rabbeinu having been the one to take charge of the burial of Yosef. So in that merit, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Mishnah tells us that Kodesh Baruch, the Almighty, himself took care of Moshe Rabbeinu's burial. The Gemara, before it gets involved with the actual burial of Moshe, quotes a pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Eli Rav Loch. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people about his own attempts to pray and merit entering the land of Israel, and the Almighty told me, says Moshe, Rav Loch, basically, enough. Enough meaning, do not pray anymore. Omar Rabbi Levi, Berav Biser, Berav Bisruhu. Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Rav in his argument is rebuffing of Korach, who was the leader of a rebellion earlier. And the Gemara tells us, Berav Biser, he used the word Rav in announcing to Korach, Rav Lochem, enough. He says to Korach and his party of rebels, dissenters, that you already have enough glory, you have enough honor. And as we've been discussing in the Mishnah, measure for measure, Berav Bisru, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was silenced by the Almighty, he was told, Rav Loch, enough. There seems to be a certain criticism here of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's something that really deserves further research, looking into it, the question would be, how else should he have referred to Korach in forestalling their rebellion? Nevertheless, that's what the Gemara tells us at this point, at least, that he used the expression Rav Lochem, and when it came to the Almighty rebuffing or silencing Moshe Rabbeinu's attempts, the same expression was used. Dovar Acher, another explanation, Rav Loch, Moshe Rabbeinu at this point was being informed by the Almighty that your entreaties to enter the land of Israel will not be fulfilled. And he said, Rav Loch, Rav Yesh Lecha, you have a master, Umanu Yoshua. Yoshua is going to succeed you, and he will bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel, not you. Dovar Acher, Rav Loch. Another explanation. The Almighty was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to stop the prayers, stop the entreaties, shelo yomru, that it shouldn't be said, harav kama kosha, v'talmud kama sarvon. The impression that the public could have received by seeing Moshe Rabbeinu in his entreaties and the Almighty not fulfilling his request, people would say how difficult, how tough the master is. And and how persistent is the student. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed many prayers to merit entering the land of Israel, and yet the Almighty did not fulfill his request. And that would have created a negative image for the Almighty, and hence he said, Rav Loch, enough. V'chol kach lomo. Why is it that Hashem didn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas? The Gemara answers in a very, very abbreviated fashion. It says, the Gemara says, Tana de Beir Ishmael, Lefum gam lo shichna. According to, first we'll give you the literal translation. Lefum means according to the gamla is the camel. Shichna is the burden that you can place upon it. The larger the camel, the greater the burden that can be placed upon it. The greater the righteousness of a tzaddik, the more the Almighty will be scrutinizing him and holding him accountable for any wrongdoing. So that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though his level of piety was unsurpassed, nevertheless, the little shortcoming that he had was magnified many fold, and because of his high level of piety, he was treated the way he was and not have his prayer answered. We continue in the Gemara with a topic heading entitled simply Kvuras Moshe, the burial of Moshe. Vayomer Alehem, Ben Me'ov Yesrim Shona Anochi Hayom. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, I am 120 years old today. Shein Tamud Lomar Hayom. There's no, what is the purpose of saying today? Do you think that there's a source here for celebrating birthdays per se? The Gemara does not feel that way. The Gemara therefore is asking, what's the significance of specifying that today I'm 120? So the Gemara explains, Hayom Milu Yomai Ushnosai. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that today, in fact, is my birthday to the day, and this is the day that he is going to die as well. L'lam decha, this teaches us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashlim shnoisem shel tzadikim miyom liyom u'mechidish l'chidish. The Almighty, when it comes to the righteous, their lives are filled from month to month and from day to day. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, es mispar yomecha amalei. Your numbered days I will fill. And the point again being that this in fact was a reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness in so far as that he died on the very day, 120 years earlier, on the very date, I should say, that he was born. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo uchal oid lotzeis v'lavo. First, we translate it literally. He says, I can no longer go out and come in. Sounds like he's quite aged and is bedridden or wheelchair bound. I can't move anymore. My lotzeis v'lavo, what do those words really mean? He lema lotzeis v'lavo mamish, if at this point in time, at his reaching age 120, he was physically incapable of movement. That's not true. Vaksiv, Moshe ben Me'ov Yesrim Shana b'Moisei lo nos lecho. Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years of age upon his death, and his lo nos lecho. Lecho means his freshness, his youthfulness had not, nos means departed, had not departed. Uksiv ayal Moshe me'av Yismoev el har Nevo, and at referring to that very time, it says Moshe Rabbeinu went from Arvus Mov to the Mount of Nivo. V'tanya shteimisrei malos hoyu sham, and we're taught that there were 12 stairs or 12 levels of ascent that were there. Uposen Moshe b'psiachas, and on that day, on the day of his death, he bounded them in one bound. So We're describing an individual of tremendous physical capability. What then does the pasuk mean when he says that I can no longer lotseis v'lavo? Amr Shmuel, Achim Rav Yonasan, lotseis v'lavo b'divrei Torah. I'm no longer mentally equipped to analyze, to study the words of Torah. Malamed shenistatmu mimenu sharei chokhmah. That at that day, the day of his death, the gates of wisdom were closed, were sealed up from him. Vayelech Moshe v'Yoshua v'yisyatzvu b'amoid. Moshe and Yoshua stood there at the Omoed, the Mishkan. Tana oisa Shabbos shel diu zugi hoisa. That Shabbos was a Shabbos of diu is two, zugi the pair. The two pair. Nitlo rishus mizeh v'nitno lezeh. That represented the transition of power from Moshe to Yoshua. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a long point. We also have a structural note on the side that will feature the diamonds that appear. Hechon Moshe, Mace, and Kavur. More will be asking, where did Moshe actually die? And where was he buried? And again, we want you to note that this is one long point. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, il moli mikro kosuv, e f shalomo. If not for the fact that the scripture, that the psukim are written out saying what they say, we're going to encounter something that we otherwise would not have been able to say. Heichon Moshe Meis, where was he? Where did he die? Bechelko Sheruvein. In the portion that would be assigned to the tribe of Reuven. Once again, we're right now on the eastern side of the Jordan River. On that side, there was land masses that were assigned to 2.5 tribes. One of those two was Reuven. The other tribe was Gad. Then there was also half of the tribe of Menasheh. So where was Moshe's death? Bechelko Shruvein Dechti Vayal Moshe Me'arvo Yismoev El Har Nevoi Unevo Bechelko Shruvein Kaimo. Nevo was in the section of land assigned to Reuven. Dechti Vuvnei Reuven Beno V'chulei Ves Nevo. So you see Nevo in the context of Reuven. Ve'echon Moshe Kovur. And where was Moshe buried? Bechelko Shogod. Dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Vayar Rachis Lo V'chulei." Now we have a starred note on the side, referring to Psukim Chof as well as Chof Aleph from Dvorim Perek Lamed Gimel. And on the side it says, "Let's read the pasuk Psukim that we've written in." It says, "Ulegud Omar Baruch Marchiv God." And in Pasuk Chaf Aleph it says, "Vayar Reishis Lo Ki Sham Chelkas Mechikik Safun Vayesei." So you see in these psukim that that God is referred to, and the burial of Moshe is referred to in this Pasuk Chaf Aleph, "Sham Chelkas Mechikik Safun." Safun is hidden or buried. And the Mechokek is the lawgiver. Reference to there was the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. So what have we said up till this point? Moshe Rabbeinu's death, that was in the section assigned to Reuven. Moshe's burial in the section assigned to God. Two separate land masses or land assignments. We continue in the Gemara. Umechelko Shruvein ad Chelko Shogod Kamahave. The distance from the section referred to before in Reuven until the section referred to here in God, how far was that? Arbo Milim. It was 4 mil. Roughly 4 kilometers. Oisen arba milin mihalicho. Who transferred, who transported Moshe Rabbeinu from where he died to where he was buried? Melamed, this teaches us, and this is what we said before, that if we didn't have the psukim, we wouldn't be able to say this on our own. This teaches us Moshe mutal bekanfei shechina u'machishros oimrim, that Moshe Rabbeinu's body was born by the wings of the divine presence, and service angels were saying tzidkas Hashem also u'mishpotov im Yisrael. The righteous ways of Hashem he did, and his judgments were with Israel. V'akodesh Baruch Hu Omer miyokum lim reyim miyisasiv im po'alei oven. Who now, says the Almighty, will stand between me and the wicked to intervene, to pray on their behalf? Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was known for his abilities in praying and for chastising them on my behalf. Ushmuel Amar, here we're giving another version as to what the Malachi Ashrois were saying. Says they said, "Mi kechacham umiyodeh peisher davar." Who has the wisdom and who knows how to strike compromises between me, the Almighty, and my children, the people of Israel? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the following was said: "Hechachma me'ayin timotzei." Wisdom, may ayin. My understanding of this quote is that wisdom is found from ayin. From ayin means from that which is nothing, meaning someone who makes himself like nothing, someone who is extremely modest. There you will see wisdom. Rav Nachman Amar vayomos shom Moshe eved Hashem, and it's there that Moshe died, the servant of God. This is a name here. Samalian Omar Vayomos Shom Moshe Safa Rabo de Israel. Safa Rabo, the great scholar. Safa is a scholar, sometimes referred to as a scribe. Here in this context, it would be the great scholar of Israel. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Hagodol Omer, Shnei Moser Mil Al Shnei Moser Mil Keneged Machni Israel, covering an area of 12 by 12 mil. That's the size of the Jewish encampment in the desert. Baskol Mashmia V'Omer, a great heavenly voice came forth and announced Vayomos Moshe Safra Rabbo Yisrael. This is what Samalian had just quoted as far as what the Shekhinah was saying. Here you have the heavenly voice was announcing that Moshe Rabbeinu has died. V'yesh Omrim Lo Mace Moshe. There's another approach to this. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not die. Ksivacha vayomos shom. Uksiv hasam. And elsewhere it says vayish shom im Hashem. Ma lahalon oimedu mishamish. Just like the pasuk that says vayish shom im Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was standing and serving the Almighty. Afkan. Even here where it says vayomos shom oimedu mishamish, he was alive. Meaning, again, we're presenting these are very esoteric type gemaras, but on a translation level, the gemara is telling us that he did not die. Of course, one will still have to interpret the word vayomos, but that's beyond the purview of our current gemara markings. Daf yomi shir. Vayikbor oso bagai beretz moyav mul beis po'or. Omar Rav Barachya, Simen b'soich Simen, a sign within a sign, a double sign. Rashi says many signs were given by the psukim where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Vafilu hachi, and even so, the pasuk says v'yodayish esfuras, and no one knew where he was buried. Looking at Rashi at the bottom, Simen b'soich Simen, klomer simonim harbe. There are many signs, many points of dislocation points mentioned in the pasuk, Beretz Moav, Bagai, Mulbeis Pa'or. And even though all of those signs were mentioned, it wasn't known where he was buried. V'ashocha Malchus HaRosha Eitzel. We continue at the top of Daf Yudalid, Gistera Shelbeis Pa'or. Malchus HaRosha is oftentimes a reference to the Roman Empire, the wicked kingdom, the Romans, sent to the Gistra, the ruler of that area, the area called Beis Pa'or, the location where the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. And this Gistra, this official, was ordered, Hareinu Heichal Moshe Kavur. We want you to show us, the Roman government wanted to know, where is Moshe Rabbeinu buried? Omdu Lamala, they stood above, we'll say the scenario would appear to be we have a mountain slope, so they stood on the top. Nidme Lahem Lamata, it appeared that his grave was lower down. Lamata, they stood below. Nidme Lahem Lamala, it appeared that it was higher up. Nechliku L'shtei Kitos, well, they then divided into two groups. Oysan Shamdim Lamala, Nidmeham Lamata. Those who were standing on the high ground, it appeared that the grave was low. Lamata, those standing low down below, Nidmelahem Lamala, it appeared that he was above. Lekaye Mashinemar, then this scenario describes, there was a fulfillment of that which it says, V'lo yoda ish es kvuroso, and no one knew where he was buried. You'll notice that we have a series marking. We're going to only start this series right now. These are explained on the side under the Mivneh heading, Meimros Shor Rav Chama Bar Chanina. These are statements made by Rav Chama Bar Chanina. The first one has is what we're starting with now. Rav Chama Bar Chanina Amar, Af Moshe Rabbeinu Einu Yodei Heichan Kavur. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know where he would be buried. Ksiv Hocha, it says, V'lo yoda ish es kvuroso. Ksiv Hosam V'zois HaBrocha Sher Beirach Moshe Ish. Well, you can see the term Ish in both Psukim. In the second cited Pasuk, V'zois HaBrocha, it's clearly a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, and hence in the first quotation, V'lo yadi ish, ish is Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't know where he was going to be buried. The Omar Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Mipnei Ma Nikbar Moshe Eitzel Beis Pa'or. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu buried right next to this idolatrous location? Beis Pa'or was the name of an idol. And the question is, why was Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of our people, buried in such a place of indignation as this idolatrous location? The Gemara answers, Kedei Lechaper Al Maisa Pa'or. His presence there served as an atonement for the sins that took place there with that particular idol, as is revealed in the Chumash. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.